من طف رسول الله The blessings of Shaban The من طف رسول الله The blessings of Shaban The blessings of Shaban
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our new series of program that is entitled as Fast is a Shield. In this program of ours, we'll be discussing about fast. What a great blessing, ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasting is. How beneficial it is, how rewardful it is, and how important it is for us in Islam. Fasting, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is one of the pillars of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept many blessings in fasting for us. It is a worship of highest degree. And it is such an act of worship, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, that when we talk about other forms of worship, other people could come to know about it. But fasting is such a form of worship that is only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Apparently, people can't come to know about it. So the level of sincerity in fasting is far more than other acts of worship. So there are a lot of benefits, a lot of virtues, a lot of excellences in this beautiful ni'mah of fasting for us. Now, inshallah, we will be covering different aspects to fasting in terms of its benefits from spiritual perspective as well as physical health perspectives as well. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Before I introduce our today's honorable guest, let us first of all enlighten our hearts with a virtue, with an excellence of sending salat upon the Prophet, sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated that he who recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty showers 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Regarding today's guest, it gives me immense pleasure to introduce our today's guest, who is our Honorable Dr. Khurram Attari, who joins us, who will be taking us through this beautiful topic of fast is a shield. Jazakallahu khairan kathira, Dr. Sa, for joining us today, for taking your time out to discuss on this very important topic, which is very fundamental for us in terms of our faith as well, from spiritual perspective as well as physical perspective as well. First of all, Dr. Sa, we're talking about fast is a shield. Now, in terms of choosing this topic, whenever we talk about a shield, all of a sudden we think about a danger. We think about something, you know, we're perhaps in a situation where a danger is in front of us. But over here, apparently there's no danger whatsoever. So please run us through, why have you chosen this topic, fast is a shield? What is the concept behind it? And how come fast is a shield?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazakallah khairah for inviting me, and of course it's a great honor to be talking about, as you said, about this particular worship. So I think there were two purposes behind.
Right.
One is that I wanted to get, of course, the barakah and blessings of hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, hadith number 1894, which says, As-sawmu junnatun,
subhanAllah,
which is fasting is a shield.
SubhanAllah. So our topic is taken, derived from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
Alhamdulillah. And that was obviously the main reason,
right,
why, you know, I guess the topic, and it relates so beautifully to all the benefits which one could derive by keeping fast. And as you, mashallah, already introduced of all the blessings in terms of it being a hidden ibadah, and we'll discuss in more detail. But I guess the key point here is that the sayings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are so comprehensive.
Subhanallah.
That though these are only two words,
Allah,
but look at the depth and how comprehensively. It covers so many aspects that we can actually do programs on just two words of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
And ulama, they've written voluminous books on the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, writing commentaries about them. And there will be a lot of commentary only on these two words as well, which inshallah will be shedding light upon. So what can we say about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Everything of his is unique. Everything of his is a source of guidance for us. So only these two words can also be taken as a source of light for us to lead our life, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. So, it's not just one example. So as we said, scholars have given so many examples of where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his words of wisdom, the pearls of wisdom, as he shared them. And that's the reason why those Sahaba Ikram Ali Muridwan, they remembered those word for word and related them onto us, because they understood the significance of those words. And exactly as you said, the pearls, and some scholars, they would give example, then when our beloved Prophet ﷺ would relate something, it would be as the beads of pearl, they were following one another.
Allah, subhanAllah.
And that's what you see with anything. So it actually reminds me, because here there are two words, it actually reminds me, which is slightly, deviating from the topic, but just on the aspect of the how comprehensive. And this is comprehensive and concise. So, but how comprehensive the words and the flow of the words, and how they follow each other, and they make a beautiful story. And that's all from the, as it comes from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that hadith is about those two words. And even if person didn't understand Arabic, the beauty of the flow is such that one thinks this can't be a kalam of anyone other than someone special. And that's the hadith where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, kalimatani. Now, kalima is word. So kalimatani, it's two words.
Right.
And the beauty of Arabic language is that, unlike English, where we have either singular or plural, in Arabic we have an extra element in when we talk about words, which is that there is word for singularity,
right.
There is word for plurality,
right.
There is also a word for something which is two. So for an even number, two, there is a separate word. So in Arabic we call it tathniya. So here, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says kalimatani, two words, and the beauty of those words is such that they are actually very light on our tongue, but they are very heavy on the scales on the day of judgment. And then further says habibatani ila rahman,
Allah,
and they are so close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And what are those words? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah al-azimi. So ulama kiram, they say, even if you don't understand anything, but actually just the flow of the words, that's the quality. And that's we see of the words which comes out of the great, that fountain of the knowledge of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the form of the Holy Quran. It said that when Suratul Kawthar was revealed, the shortest surah, but how comprehensive that is, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he wrote that and he actually hung it on the wall of the Holy Kaaba. And there was a very famous poet who visited, and he was known for his oratory, for his eloquence of how, he would write these incredible poems, which were masterpieces. And he read that and he wrote underneath it, this can't be kalam of a human being. So yeah, so that's the beauty. So I wanted to gain, I guess, the blessings of that.
Tere aage nu hai dabe leche fusaha arab ke bade bade koi jaane mu mein zabaan nahi nahi balki jism mein jaan nahi.
Absolutely. So yeah, so the all the scholars and everyone, no one could of course compare. But the other reason why I wanted to is that shielding actually in medicine perhaps has been one of the most commonly spoken words. So it was actually, there was this group which we identified of about 2 million people,
right,
just in this country, which were called clinically extremely vulnerable.
Right.
And what they were advised is that if you wanted to avoid this particular illness, and because they're immunocompromised, so they're at high risk of contracting infection, they were advised to shield. So actually, medically, this term has been used so much, and people who have been in that particular situation, how difficult they have found it. And so I was thinking to myself, you know, when I first heard that term, I said, look, here we are,
Allah,
in 21st century,
Allah,
trying to fight the smallest of microbes, the smallest of the organisms, which has paralyzed the society,
indeed,
the community. And here we are advising millions of people to shield. And look at the beauty of our deen. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us such a great recipe for that. If you want to shield yourself from the turmoils of the hereafter, from the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, from the all the calamities which one could face and could befall to someone in their graves, and not just for the matter of the hereafter, if you want to shield yourself from physical ailments, if you want to shield yourself from spiritual diseases, whatever it is, if you want to shield yourself, let me give you the answer. And that is a song, which is the fast.
Again, the concept of comprehensiveness comes into play over here, that the words are sort of only two or three words. But look at the comprehensivity of this entire concept of shielding, of being shielded against all these problems, physical as well as spiritual, as well as of those of the afterlife. So no doubt the speech of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the from whichever angle you look at it, the element of eloquency of course is there. And when you were relating the incident earlier, the poets of Arab at that time, they were very, very eloquent speakers in Arab at that very moment of time, and they none of them could answer to the verses of the Quran, where of course they were rendered helpless, they were rendered speechless in front of the Holy Quran. And this again shows us how comprehensive the sayings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are. And now that we're talking about fast is a shield, and we established the fact that we've taken this topic from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So far we see that fast is a shield for our worldly problems, spiritual problems, physical problems, as well as the problems of the afterlife. And alhamdulillah, today's episode is also entitled Shield Against Turmoil in the Afterlife. This is what we particularly will be discussing, inshallah, going forward. Now, when we talk about shield against turmoil in afterlife, first of all, we need to understand what afterlife is. So afterlife starts as soon as a person passes away. The time of barzakh, when that starts, when his Lord is in his grave, the day of judgment, so on and so forth. So through your discussion, another point we come to know. We come to know about another point where it is very commonly famous amongst the society that we only live once. Live to your full. We only live once, live to your full. But from your discussion, what we derive now is, no, we don't live only once. We live twice. And the first time that we live, this is not permanent living. This is transient. This is temporary. Then a time will come when we will leave this life and enter another life, which is going to be permanent, which is going to be forever. So this is what we established, that no, we don't live only once, we live twice. That very life is the life which actually should matter for us, which we should actually aim for. Now, I would like your insight into our second life, when we will start living our second life, that how would fast shield us when we go and start living our second life, which is the afterlife, when our soul is seized from our bodies, when the time of barzakh starts, when the time of our lowering in the grave starts, the day of judgment, so on and so forth. How would fast shield us in that regard? But before I come to you, dear viewers of Madinah channel, inshallah azawajal, we'll come back to you on this topic. But before that, inshallah, let's go and listen to a nat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the master of the creation, of a master, of a savior, of an intercessor in the afterlife, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and then we'll come back and continue on this very discussion of ours. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasul Allah, ya Habib Allah, ya Rasul Allah, ya Habib Allah, bula lo phir mujhe shah bahar bar Madine mein main phir rota hua tere dar par Madine mein Madine ka fil jaate hai main bhi aaunga Madine ka
محفل میں یہ کیا ہوا بس ایک رٹ گی لگاتے ہیں میں بھی آؤں گا بس ایک رٹ ہی لگاتے ہیں میں بھی آؤں گا
مدینے قافل جاتے
حضور کتنے گیا تے ہیں میں بھی آؤں گا
مدینے قافل جاتے ہیں میں بھی آؤں گا مدینے قافل جاتے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani channel, what a beautiful kalam, what a beautiful naat of the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. Naat of the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم is the heartbeat of the devotees of the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to recite the naat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam all of our life, and for the sake of it, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful in this world as well as in our afterlife. Now, we're talking about afterlife. Just before going towards the naat, we were talking about fast being a shield in the afterlife. So let's go back to our Honorable Dr. Khurram Sahib and ask him to shed more light on this very important subject of fast being a shield in the afterlife. So Dr. Sahib, just before we went to the segment, we were talking about fast being a shield in the afterlife. Now, when we talk about afterlife, first of all, if you could very briefly summarize that, what should we understand when the word afterlife is said in front of us? Number one. And number two, once we've established the fact that what our mindset should be when we hear the word afterlife, now how fast would be a shield in the afterlife?
Jazakallah khairah. So I think that's again very important, because I think that, as you said, so this whole concept of you only live once and eat, drink, and be merry.
Some don't even marry.
Exactly. But that's right. Yeah. So I guess, yeah. So you could potentially take marry for both. Ji. Absolutely. But yeah. So, and that's exactly what people think, because I guess with all the worldly desires, with all the worldly concepts, with everything which we have around us, be it our jobs,
the glitter, the luxuries of the world,
correct,
that make us heedless of the hereafter.
That's right, absolutely. So all of them, they indulge us to that extent, and our hearts, perhaps our souls, are so enveloped by all these, as you said, the glitter and glory, which is temporary, but it seems to be so attractive. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously what Shaitan wants. That's exactly sometimes whatever nafs of our own self desires. And that all, when we somehow get heedless to that point, that we think that, whatever there is, it is only for this world.
Right.
And that reminds me of that old lady. And that is, an eye-opener for someone who wants to pay heed to advice, if not of anyone else, for this lady whose son passed away and she was crying, and she goes to Sayyidina Musa Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and so I'm summarizing here. And she relates that her son has passed away, and how long had her son lived? It was close to 200 years.
Right.
Her lives used to belong in those days. So she had lived a long life. He had lived a long life, but the mum, she's crying, having lost her son. And she goes to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and I guess wanted a session for catharsis, to share her sorrows, her concerns, and also to seek prayers. And in order to alleviate some of her concerns, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he gives her an example and says, do you know that there will be Ummah, which would be coming, where the average lives would be around 60. And having heard that, and you know, here her son, which by standards of that time had actually left at the climax of youth.
Allah, at the age of 200.
Nearly 200 years. And so when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that, and she then, her next extempore, the next remark which she gives is what she says, would they build houses?
Allah.
If someone is only going to live for 60 or 70 years, in her mind, it was a complete waste of time to even build a house. And if we look all around us, you know, we are talking about skyscrapers. We are talking about, you know, that's the sort of life we're after. That, you know, we want to have a penthouse at the, you know, the highest skyscraper we can find, which has the glorious views all around it. Why all of that? Because this is what we think. We think, you know,
this is the only life we're going to live.
The only life, exactly. And whereas we know, and this is our faith, this is our iman, we teach it to our children. When we teach them about the qualities of faith with iman mufassal. We teach them that no, actually, amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi, and all of that, and also remember that there is wal yawmil akhiri, because we are not going to live here forever. So actually, we should be making all of our effort to shield ourselves from the calamities, from the torments, from the problems of the hereafter. Because we don't live once. Actually, that is our actual life. We are here only for a test.
Indeed. Indeed.
So, and in Psalm, this, you know, this form of worship, that actually provides us that shield to prevent ourselves from the torments of the hereafter. And as you said, the afterlife begins from the moment one passes away. And from that moment onwards, even before he goes to his grave, that stage, that phase of actual life,
afterlife has started.
Yeah. And there we say, oh, well, you know, it's very difficult to keep fast. You know, the fasts are too long. It is, you know, it comes in summer nowadays. It's too hot. And, you know, despite the fact that, you know, countries, you know, especially Western countries, where we have so many bounties
in
this world, which we're enjoying. So enjoying all those bounties, having all those amenities so close to us in our homes. And if we look at how we actually spend, you know, most of the time, there were those who actually truly fearful of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who truly wanted to be amongst muttaqeen. They spent their psalm in such a way they would try and multiply their reward. Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullah would read 61 Quran.
Allah.
You know, during Ramadan, one Quran during the day, one Quran at night, and one Quran throughout Taraweeh to maximize. And for us, we say, oh, you know, it is too difficult, and oh, I can't. You know, what if I get dehydrated?
Sometimes seems like, astaghfirullah, ma'adallah, some people are waiting for Ramadan to depart.
Yeah.
Had my ummah known what Ramadan is, they would wish for Ramadan to stay all year round.
Exactly.
These are the things that we find.
Yeah.
So this is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which unfortunately we take for granted. Not even for granted. And sometimes, ma'adallah, we even sort of seem like we're getting, we are referring to those who do actually fast.
That's right.
That they, ma'adallah, are waiting for Ramadan to, astaghfirullah, depart, so that they can continue with their normal routine as per usual. And they seem, it seems as if they're considering themselves to be confined.
Yeah.
That they've been stopped from eating, stopped from drinking, and this seems to be some kind of confinement for themselves. Whereas this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just take it in this way, that if you're a doctor, you prescribe me that you can't eat anything from after offering your Fajr Salah until the sunset. Otherwise, you're endangered with such and such diseases. I'll, of course, listen to you.
That's right.
No matter what happens, just because my doctor prescribes me to stop eating something sweet, for example, which is halal, I stop that. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us not to eat anything during Ramadan, which is again beneficial for our body, for our physical health, for our spiritual health, for the sake of our afterlife, but yet we are so neglectful in this regard. And just on the same point, Dr. Saab, and the viewers of Madani Channel, we have also established another very important point over here, that believing in the afterlife is fundamental for us to do so, for our iman, for our faith. It is not as if it is optional for us to believe in the afterlife or not. This is necessary for us, for our faith, to believe in the afterlife, in the akhirah. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, after establishing all these facts and understanding the importance of the afterlife, how important it is for us not only to believe in it, but also to prepare for it, just within this spectrum, now try to see how important fasting is, which is one of the pillars of Islam, one of the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He gave to the ummah of His beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The month of Ramadan, this is month of Allah Almighty. This is a month of blessing, full of blessings. The first ashara, the first 10 days of Ramadan, is of mercy. The middle 10 days are of forgiveness. And the last 10 days are of freedom from the hellfire. And again, our today's topic is about fast being a shield for the turmoils of the afterlife. So Dr. Saab, when we talk about this very specific element of fast being a shield for the turmoils of the hereafter. So again, we first of all need to establish the turmoils of the hereafter so that we can determine the fact that how would fasting be a shield for us against those turmoils. Because until and unless we don't know the dangers, how can we understand that how a safety measure would protect us against those dangers? So first of all, if we understand the dangers, then we will appreciate the preventive measures even more. First of all, let's try to establish what those turmoils are, how severe they are, and then how fasting would become a shield for us against those turmoils. So first of all, those problems of the afterlife, how severe they are, and then in the light of that, we will try to appreciate how great a shield fasting is against those turmoils. But just before that, Dr. Saab, we have another beautiful segment for other viewers of Madani Channel, where inshallah azawajal, we will listen to a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and derive some pearls of wisdom from it. Straight after that, inshallah azawajal, we will continue our discussion from where we are leaving it right now. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Many viewers of Madani Channel, fasting, the month of Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, many blessings, virtues of fasting in the month of Ramadan. Some people think, I fast in the month of Ramadan, my illness may increase, I may become even more ill. Or some people just normal think, if I fast, I may become ill. Allahu Akbar, stated, Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, Rahimullah Ta'ala. He says that once he had a dream, and his father came in his dream, Rata Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, Rahimullah Ta'ala. And he says that my father said to me, this coming Ramadan Sharif, you will fall severely ill, but be careful not to miss a single fast. Allahu Akbar. And as his father stated us exactly what took place, the month of Ramadan Sharif had come. Ala Hazrat Rahmallahu Ta'ala became severely ill. But yet, he did not miss a single fast. Subhanallah. He did not miss a single fast and he became better by fasting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, Sumu tusihhu. Fast, sumu, fast. Tasihu, you shall become healthy. Hazrat Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Hazrat Ali al-Murtada, karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem, he states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to a prophet from the Bani Israel, he who fasts one single day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, I shall grant him good health and reward him greatly. Allahu Akbar. And if it was even nowadays in this day and age, in this era, today's scientists have also testified to the fact that fasting is good for our health. It stated that a professor from Oxford University, a professor by the name of Moore Pallett, if that's how you pronounce the name, that he says, while studying Islamic books, I was astonished to know that Islam has given a great gift to its followers in the form of fasts. I also felt like fasting. So I began to fast in conformity with the Islamic method. My stomach was swollen for quite a while, surprisingly. I felt an obvious reduction in pain. Allahu Akbar. As a result of fasting for only a few days. Therefore, I continued to fast and I recovered from my illness within a month. Allahu Akbar. It's also stated that a priest from Holland, Alf Gaal is his name. He has stated, I met several patients suffering from diabetes, heart and stomach illnesses, and stomach diseases, fast continuously for 30 days. Resultantly, the diabetes of the diabetics came under control. The heart patients felt a decrease in their fear and breathing problems, and the condition of the stomach patients improved the most. Sigmund Freud, quite a famous psychologist, he too has also accepted the fact that fast is an excellent cure for physical stress, depression, and mental disorders. According to a newspaper report, a team of researchers and doctors from Germany, England, and America, they came to Pakistan in the blessed month of Ramadan. They chose two cities, Karachi, as well as the city of Muhaddis-e-Azam, Faisalabad. They chose these two cities for the research. The report issued by them, by these researchers, after the surveys conclude that the Muslims suffer relatively less ear, nose and throat, that's ENT, less ear, nose and throat illnesses as a result of ablution, as a result of the ablution that they make prior to their daily salah. They offer in abundance during the month of Ramadan, and the Muslims also attain less stomach, liver, heart and nerve problems as they eat less, especially during this month, due to their fasts. Allahu Akbar. These are a few. Madivus, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself rewards those people who fast. These are those benefits which we see, worldly benefits. But no doubt the benefits of the akhirah are much greater. Do not think that by fasting you'll become ill, but rather the contrary. Rather the opposite. By fasting you will get better, inshallah, azzawajal. But if you was a Madani channel, fast. Do not worry. Fast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome back to the Madani channel. Insha'Allah Zawajal, after listening to this beautiful hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, let's continue our discussion further, where we were talking about fast being a shield against the turmoils of the hereafter and what are the turmoils of the afterlife that we are talking about. So inshallah, don't stop. The turmoils of the hereafter and fast being a shield against those turmoils. What would you say in this regard?
Yeah, so it's as we're discussing that afterlife starts, and that is, I guess, in a sense, the true life that right. We need to prepare for. So that, if we divide it into phases, so the first phase is, of course, the phase of grave. And that's what Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani, the third caliph of Islam, radiallahu ta'ala, when he would whenever people would talk about the grave, he would cry so much that people would start feeling sorry for
Allah.
And they would ask him, whenever you hear about the grave, why do you cry so much? And he gave us, you know, this answer, which is really, I guess, you know, well, certain eye-opener, but also it highlights the stage of the afterlife starting and commencing with the grave. He says that grave is the first stage of the life of the hereafter.
Oh,
if this stage is successful, then I hope all the further stages will be successful. And if it isn't, then the risk is that one could fail the remaining stages. So grave being the first stage,
right.
And then we have the second, which is the Day of Judgment, which, as we know, is 50,000 years long. And that's the day when one will be held accountable for what he has done. And after that, the decision between heaven or hellfire. And those three stages, with the primary, the start and the commencement being the stage of the grave, and taking this journey all the way along. As we were discussing, that after the stage of grave, so that's what one needs to be preparing for. So the fasting, it is a shield from the torments of the grave.
Right.
It is also a shield for us on the Day of Judgment. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says the reason why we have these fasting made obligatory upon us in Ramadan, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So the purpose is that we grow fearful and we prepare ourselves,
right,
for these stages of hereafter. So if we look at from these stages of the grave, of the Day of Judgment, and then finally the decision about how it would help us shield on the Day of Judgment, also would help us shield from the fire of hell. As we heard, one is that there is, ulama ikram mentioned that there is one door of paradise which is dedicated for those who kept fast. And of course, the one who enters heaven has been prevented from the fire of hell. So that is, and some have written that that is the door of Rayyan, which is specifically for those who keep fast. Secondly, I think it's important to just compare and contrast, as we discussed, that those who don't, and they think of it perhaps ma'adallah as that it is somehow too difficult for them, mm-hmm, or it is a burden upon them, ma'adallah. And there are so many of our brothers and sisters who are deliberately not keeping fast. I ask them to do a blood test after fasting, and they're happy to fast for 14 hours
just for a
single blood test.
Allah.
But when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that, look, what am I offering you? It's also mentioned in the Hadith Pak that when for the Saum, it's mentioned in the Sawma that in the fast is such, what is the benefit of that? فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Fast is for me and I myself will give rewards. That's how Allah Ta'ala is shielding us. He is giving us the glad tidings that I'm shielding you, because for all other worship, they have their own benefits. But here, وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, and I will give you the reward myself. And some muhaddisin, Mufti Ahmad Khan Naimi, rahmatullah ta'ala, has also written that some muhaddisin have written this hadith as ana ujza bihi,
right,
which means that here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that I myself is the reward. That one who keeps fast actually finds me.
And the one who gets this glad tiding, this reward, which other shield does he require against the turmoil of the afterlife?
Absolutely.
And again, Dostab, when you were talking about the grave, and its punishments. Grave is either a garden of paradise or a ditch of hell. There's no third option. It will either be an orchard of paradise or it will be a ditch of hell. And again, the third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, the account of his that you mentioned, And it is also stated that he would cry so much that his blessed beard would soak soak in tears. Now, this is the state of the one who's amongst not only Ashra al-Mubashara, but amongst Khulafa al-Rashideen. And about whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also stated that whatever Uthman does now, there's no account on him. He won't be held accountable for it. Now, Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, the third caliph of Islam, he acquired knowledge directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this action of his also shows us that how important the stage of grave is for us. In a way, we can say, one of the first barriers, one of the first phases, of course, when the soul is seized, that's also a phase. Then, from then until a person gets buried in the grave, that's another phase. Then being buried in the grave, that's another phase. Now, in the grave, the turmoils that a person can possibly face in the shape of, in the form of a punishment, where we know that a grave can also, ma'adullah, be filled with snakes and scorpions. And then we also come to know through different narrations that a shroud of a deceased can also be turned into a shroud of fire. And there's so many other punishments which have been stated just for the grave. Now, this we can altogether put it as a turmoil of the grave. And the person who fasts, who abides by this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by this obligation of fasting, this would serve as a shield for him against the turmoil of the grave. This is how we can sort of summarize this entire discussion and also the narration of the third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So, dear viewers of Madani channel, we've so far established many perspectives of fasting and also that how fasting would serve as a shield against the turmoil of the grave, which is one of the turmoils of afterlife. Now, Dr. Saab, moving forward, we spoke about grave as a turmoil. Now, next phase, when we'll be resurrected on the Day of Judgment, the Day of Qiyamah, the day that is 50,000 years long, when the sun will be only a quarter mile away. Some people will be drowning within their own sweats. Some people will be drowned within their own sweats up until today. Chest, some up until their waist, some until their ankles. There are different phases, of course, of people depending on how they would have, how much sins they would have committed, so on and so forth. But then there would be certain fortunate people who would also be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in those testing severe times, when the earth will be made of copper and everyone will be made to stand barefoot on it, on such a day, how do we see fast being a shield for us from that great turmoil?
So as you said, that there are so many things to contemplate for the day of resurrection, for the day of judgment. And I think just the mere idea that it is, which we can't even comprehend, 50,000 years long, all the creation, the entire humanity, from Sayyidina Adam ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam until the last person on earth, all of them gathered barefoot, bare-bodied, on the earth made of copper, with the sun shining only a mile and a quarter away. And today, and the sun is nearly 93 million miles away from us. And still we find it difficult to keep fast, giving a lame excuse that it's too hot.
Allah.
So if we can't bear this heat when it is 25, 30 Celsius in these countries, perhaps 50 in the most hot places of the world, but it is not a mile and a quarter away, it's 93 million miles away. It takes nearly 8 minutes for the sun rays to reach the earth. That's how far, and the light travels at 300,000 kilometers per second.
Allah.
And with that speed of light, it takes us that long. For that day, if we want to prepare ourselves to be held successful on that day, to avoid the heat of that day, to avoid even the matters of accountability, which itself will be so difficult for people to even
and
have.
Great turmoil.
Exactly, which will be a huge turmoil. When everybody, you know, there would be a point where people would be desperate to even say that throw us in hellfire, but just let the accountability
Allah.
Begin.
Allah.
So even to begin the proceedings of the day, people wouldn't be able to tolerate that. And for such a day, if we think that the heat of this earth is
well,
stopping
so
me, exactly. And so if I can't shield my own self from this world, giving an excuse of the heat of that sun which is so far away, then how could I even consider that day of judgment when I would be in desperate need of mercy of Allah Ta'ala? Of course, who would be that mercy for? And this substance is actually found in the traditions where it's said that those who would have spent their lives in this world hungry, on the day of judgment, when others will be held accountable, they would be invited to tablecloth.
SubhanAllah. And for that day, of course, it'll be needing of pious deeds. And in one narration, it is stated that the one who performs a sajda, prostration in the court of Allah Almighty during the nights of Ramadan in Salah, for every sajda, there will be 1,500 virtues, 1,500 virtues. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, such a severe day, what a great turmoil it is going to be. And imagine that on that day, if, ma'azallah, we don't fast because of these lame excuses that we have, how regretful we will be on that very day. On every sajda, we can earn 1,500 good deeds, which can serve as a great shield for us in the hereafter. And as, mashallah, Dr. Khuram Sahib, of a Mubaligh of Dawat Islam, has beautifully mentioned that those who bore hunger in this world, those who fasted for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll be invited to tablecloths on the day of judgment when everyone will be facing the turmoil of accountability. And they'll be rewarded, this great reward, just for the fasts they observed in the world, in this dunya, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll talk more about this topic and cover more aspects of turmoils of afterlife against which fasting serves as a shield. But right now, it's time for another segment where inshallah azawajal, we learn more pearls of wisdom. Straight after this segment, inshallah, we'll come back and continue our discussion from where we just left. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Fast is a shield against spiritual diseases. SubhanAllah, this obligation of fasting has many wisdoms behind it. Allah Jalla wa Ala, mentioning the purpose of fasting in the Quran, mentions لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that perhaps they attain piety, so that they become pious. Now the ulama have mentioned in their books that fasting is a brilliant way of ridding oneself of not only outer sins but inner sins as well, sins of the heart. For example, when a person fasts, he doesn't have much energy, he won't use his tongue as much. And those sins that he normally commits on a daily basis, ma'azallah, like backbiting, slandering, lying even, he is safe from them. Similarly, when a person fasts, alhamdulillah, his mind is cleared as well. And he's able to think more about Allah Azza wa Jal, his creator. He is able to remember Allah more abundantly. So these are some of the benefits of fasting and how they enable a person to avoid spiritual diseases of the heart as well. So it's very, very important that when we fast, we abide by these conditions. Yes, these are the inner conditions of fasting. That when we fast, we don't misuse our tongue. We don't misuse our ears, our eyes, and every single limb of the body. And fasting actually helps in that regard. Meaning when you're weak, when you haven't ate, and alhamdulillah, inshallah, you'll be able to save yourselves better from these sins. Otherwise, when the stomach is full, then that's when desires, they awaken. A person wants to do wrong, wants to go towards haram. And shaitan incites all the time. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even gave fasting as a cure for those who are unable to get married and who could not fulfill the conditions of getting married. So he said, Ya ma'ashar shabab, but O youth, if you cannot marry, meaning if you cannot fulfill the conditions of marriage, the rites of marriage, then you should fast. So this was given as a prescription for the youth of the time, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and even today, we should fast to control and curb our desires as well, and that will have a great effect on our heart. Our heart will be immersed in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal during fasting, which will resultantly bring us closer to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers of Madani channel, where we are discussing about fast as a shield against the turmoils of afterlife. So far we've covered how fasting becomes a shield for us against the turmoils of grave. Also, very briefly, we touched upon how beautifully fasting would become a shield for us against the turmoils of the day of resurrection. Moving forward, Dr. Sir, we've talked about the severity of the day of judgment and how fast observing people will be rewarded specially on tablecloths. Now, in the same perspective, when we move a bit forward, we also know that mizan, scale, will also be established on the Day of Judgment. Now, for certain people, this would also be a turmoil. For those for whom, ma'adullah, the side of sins would become heavier, for them, it would be a turmoil. Now, in this regard, how do you see fast being a shield for us on mizan? And also, I would also request you to mention the hadith that you mentioned in the beginning of the program, that how those beautiful words, they become, which are light on the tongue, and they become heavy on the scale, as I think it beautifully correlates with our subject, our topic as well.
Inshallah, Savajal. So we know from the verse of the Holy Quran that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has reminded us, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. So, and as you said, so as the process of accountability, one of the aspects of that is the scales,
right,
where the good deeds, the virtues, would be compared against the bad deeds,
right,
and the sins, and the question is which side of the scale is heavier, yeah. And so of course those who have been fearful of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, those who have followed His commands, those who have kept their fast, those who read their salah, and obviously we have only touched upon just the fast itself.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many other Indeed. Things hidden in the month of Ramadan. So it is the month of Quran. It is the month of i'tikaf. It's the month of Taraweeh. So there are so many things.
But fast being the integral part.
Exactly, absolutely. So yeah, so fast is what actually brings it all together.
Right.
But so that is the core of that of the month. But there's so many other things. All of those, they are actually helping us on that day at the time of scales. And the hadith I was mentioning earlier, which I think would be a great takeaway for our viewers and our audience, that how easy it is. I mean, sometimes people say, you know, I've kept fast, but how do I spend my day? I can't eat anything, I can't drink anything, I feel so tired, lethargic, I'm malaise. You know, people have all these sort of excuses. Why not we actually use that time to maximize our reward by actually praying to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, by reciting His beautiful name, by reciting the Holy Quran. So that's what our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And as you said, you know, the beauty of those pearls of wisdom.
Allah.
Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kalimatani,
right,
khafifatani ala lisani, thaqilatani fil mizan, habibatani ila rahman. Two words.
Allah.
Which are easy on the tongue, khafifatani ala lisan, easy on the tongue, thaqilatani fil mizan, but they are heavy on the scale.
On the scale.
And the beauty of this is, and look at how it's culminating. You know, so this is the climax. This is how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if you think about his words, the flow, the beauty of those words, the way they are
phenomenal.
Chosen, it's phenomenal. You know, there is just no other example. But then it is culminating in this climax where he says, Habibatani ila Rahman.
SubhanAllah.
These are the words which are taking you close to Rahman.
Essence of everything.
Essence of everything. Because this is why we keep fast.
Indeed.
This is why we read Salah. This is why we do all this worship.
Just to attain the pleasure of Allah Almighty.
Pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And what are those words? What are these two kalima? We are reminded that these are Subhanallah al-Azeem, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.
Subhanallah.
So easy to read, but look at what they are carrying for us. So on one hand, we learn the beauty of the conversation, the kalam of Mustafa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, such an easy way to actually
and
prepare us.
And also, Dr. On the same note, if you think about it, whilst you're fasting, sometimes it does happen, you feel a bit dehydrated. That is a natural phenomenon. That is understandable. It's natural for us. But of course, we have to be patient on it and attain reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how beautifully the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has guided us on these beautiful words. They can be read, recited anytime.
That's right.
But how easy it is for us to accumulate, to multiply our reward whilst we're fasting, because every moment during the fast of a person will keep getting reward. But how beautifully we can multiply our reward whilst we're fasting just by uttering these sentences.
Lord.
These were, they light on the tongue, heavy on the mizan, on the scale, and they're beloved to Allah Almighty, take you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very beautiful example you've given over here by bringing this hadith into discussion, that our fast becomes a stronger shield for us for the Day of Judgment by reciting these two kalimat, these two words, which are light on the tongue, heavy on mizan, and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beautifully, mashallah, through the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the weightage of our fasting, which in itself is a worship of the highest degree, the weightage of that worship has increased even further through these beautiful words, where we learn the skill of speech as well, of eloquence, that how should we converse, how should we go about our conversation, and at the same time we also come to know that how fasting is becoming a stronger shield for us on the Day of Judgment, when our a'mal, our deeds will be weighed on the scale. Beautifully mentioned, mashallah. And furthermore, there are many, many aspects to cover, but of course time doesn't permit us to go into more depth. But one more element I would request you to please touch upon, which the final phase that comes after Mizan and after all this has taken place, when the final verdict for an individual is issued, whether paradise or hellfire, one of the two, there's no third option. And this is the everlasting life, the perpetual life that we were talking about earlier on. Now that phase has come. Hellfire is a turmoil for us. Paradise is in'am, it's a reward for us. Now, Dr. Sam, the turmoil of hellfire, how is fast a shield for us from the turmoil of hellfire?
So in order to understand that, I think what we need to understand is what, you know, because these concepts, they might look quite abstract to us, but
right.
They are absolute definite. We know that this is, as you said, is the final destination.
Not only definite, also fundamental for us to believe in.
Absolutely, exactly. And this is for eternity.
Indeed.
So it is, so, you know, so to compare with this life of few years, now there is no comparison one
Indeed.
Could draw. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has actually reminded us that if you think about that, the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if we were to be furious, and that is where we really need to be fearful, that those who don't even keep fast, they really need to contemplate, think to themselves, question themselves, can I actually bear those torments of the hellfire?
Is it worth it?
Exactly. And that's what I just want to give one example from the verse of the Holy Quran. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned in chapter Ad-Dukhan, ayah number 43 to 46, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Inna shajarata zaqoom, ta'amul athim, kal muhli jaghli fil butoon, kaghalyi al-hamim. And what's the pertinent to the drink of the people of hell? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, in Surah Muhammad, verse 15. وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ. So this is, you know, it just gives a glimpse into the torments of those hellfire. This is the food of the hell dwellers, caked as saplings. This is the drink of the hell dwellers, that they're boiling water. All of those, for those who disobeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So why not leave that food or drink for a few hours of the day, only once in a year? And for that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would help us shield from the food of the hell dwellers, from the drink of the hell dwellers. This is not a bad deal.
Indeed.
You know, this is
a win-win situation.
It is a win-win situation. And this is what the fasting, this is how it shields us from these torments of the hellfire. And this is just one example. There's so much more to say. So as you said, you know, the time doesn't permit, we could discuss more and more, but if we want to truly understand the essence of this fast and how the beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the shield for us, then that is what we need to understand. This is not a simple matter. This is not ordinary. What it is shielding us from, as we've discussed the different stages, it is phenomenal. There is no example, there is no analogy which one could draw for these things. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us those examples in the Quran so that we stay fearful, we protect ourselves, we make arrangements to protect ourselves, to abstain from the fire of hell. And Allah Ta'ala has given us that solution, the recipe for that success, and that is fast to shield from
that. MashaAllah, JazakAllah, Rusta. Thank you so very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to discuss this ever so important topic with you. And I hope the viewers of Madani Channel would have definitely benefited from these pearls of wisdom. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, we've today briefly covered how fasting is a shield for the turmoils of the here. After, we need to understand that why exactly do we disobey Allah Almighty? What do we gain out of it? Just for the sake of the pleasure of few moments, we disobey Allah Almighty, for which there could be a never-ending punishment, never-ending turmoil in the hereafter. Why do we leave Fard fast, obligatory fast of Ramadan, based on what reasoning? Why exactly do we do that? Is it worth it? Certainly, it is not worth it if fasting is fard upon us. And remember that fast, this is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. It is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a shield for us against the turmoils of the afterlife. So, don't waste it. Take this shield, fast for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make sure that we don't leave fasting out of negligence or out of lame excuses, which we see in our society every now and then. May Allah Almighty enable us to fast for His pleasure, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to hold firm onto this shield, which will help us against the turmoil of afterlife. That's all for today. Inshallah, we'll come again with another episode, with another topic. We'll discuss more aspects of fasting. Till then, take very good care of yourself and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
The mantaf Rasulullah, the blessings of Shaban. The mantaf Rasulullah, the blessings of Shaban. The blessings of Shaban.